Hey neighbor, I hope you're enjoying season two of Neighborhood Twin Mom. If you are, I'd love it if you'd share a screenshot of this show and share it with one of your friends who you also think would enjoy it. I am working real hard on season two and I'm super excited about a lot of the guests I have lined up. It was about this time last year, 2021, that I was inspired to start this podcast. It was my hope and dream to create a community of twin moms sharing their experiences to help other twin moms not feel so lonely or isolated, so other twin moms realize that someone else has been there. And as much as I wish I had all the answers, you know that I don't have all the answers, but I'm lucky now to have lots of friends who are moms of twins. So I decided to share my friends with you and interview them in hopes that you get a glimpse of what it may be like to raise twins. And although we have different experiences, I hope you can find someone, one of my guests, to relate to or commiserate or reminisce with about raising twins. Because let's face it, it is unique to have two babies born on the same day or more. And during this global pandemic and through creating this podcast, I feel like I've gained some new friendships, which I'm so grateful for. So grateful for. So thanks for being here and being a part of my neighborhood. Without any further rambling, today's guest is someone I've idolized since I was very young. I've known her my whole life. She's my first cousin once removed, Brooke Bain. I'm super fortunate that as a kid, my great-grandparents hosted annual family reunions, and then their children, my grandparents and their siblings, continued that tradition. So I can say that I know my first cousin once removed. She's my dad's cousin. And Brooke is a new empty nester. She has four adult children. And actually, when we were recording this, her twins, Josh and Megan, had just celebrated their 23rd birthday. So stay tuned to the very end of the episode where Brooke gives some just really great parenting advice, which I needed. I'm so grateful for her and grateful for all my friends who decided to come on the podcast and share their experiences. So enjoy. Hey, I'm Amber, mom to boy-girl twins plus three other girls. My oldest was in kindergarten when baby five came along. I have a lot of kids and a lot of practice parenting them. But when I have a question, I turn to an expert, another mom. I believe the best advice comes from moms in the trenches, living it day in and day out. So sit back as I ask the real experts, moms like you, all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. Brooke is my first cousin once removed, which means she's my dad's cousin. And she was more of an aunt, cool young aunt. We would go to family reunions and she was always there. And I remember the summer you brought Steve with you. And I don't know if you were dating or if you had just gotten married or maybe you were engaged, but I was a little put out. I was like, how dare she bring this man? She's not going to braid our hair anymore. But Steve is actually super cool. And he would still hang out with me and the other little cousins with you. And then you had kids and were a little less fun. But then you had twins.
Why did that have to happen?
Well, I think you just were more concerned about your own children than someone else's children. But I remember a summer we drove through your house and I think I have half a roll of film with just your kids on it because they're so stinking cute. So Brooke, go ahead and introduce your cute family to me.
Okay. So Steve and I got married in 1992 and then tried for a little baby for a couple of years. Took about 4 years. We had her in 1996. Kelsey is now 25. And then we had our twins, Josh and Megan, in 1999. And then 4 years later, another son, Tyson, who is now 18. So he's 4 years after the twins. And yeah, that's our family.
So tell me if the twins were kind of a surprise, not really. Tell me how you found about that.
So with all of my children, I was on Clomid, little fertility help. And I remember the doctor telling me that it was a very low chance, but multiples were a possibility. Just had one the first time. So I thought that's pretty good odds. Tried again. And at our 20-week ultrasound, we found out there were two. And I had suspected that there were because I felt it in my tummy. It felt different. Little butterflies flying around.
You told me that you cried when you found out there's two boys. Oh. They originally told you it's two boys, right?
Yes, at the ultrasound, they did say it's two boys. And I cried and all the tears were puddling in my ears. And then about a minute later, they said, oh, it's a girl and a boy. And for some reason, that settled me out up a little bit.
Which is funny because I was okay with two boys, but I didn't want to have two girls. I was like, as long as one of them is a boy. And it's funny because one of my ultrasound techs with most of my kids, she ended up having twins. But when I had my twins, she didn't have twins yet. And she would make comments about how people come in and have a specific desire for gender of kids. And she didn't understand why people would get upset. And then she started having kids and was like, oh, I get it. Like do you have some fears or anxieties or, I don't know.
It was just, shocking, I guess, because I had a little 2-year-old girl and just the thought of two boys was, I don't know, just shocking is all.
See, and I thought the same thing. Busy. I was like, well, I already have a little girl. I don't want to have two more little girls. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so competitive. Go ahead. Tell me, your pregnancy was pretty, what do you say? Like typical. But different from from Kelsey.
It went well. I just had to, the doctors told me to be on sitting rest, not bed rest, for a few months at the end, which was kind of difficult. But yeah, Josh was breech and they knew that a couple months before and were a little concerned about that. Couldn't turn the baby. I know some have the baby turned or it turns on its own and he did not. We had a scheduled C-section at 38 weeks and all went very well. And he was healthy and she was healthy. He was 4'11 or weighed 4'11 and she weighed 6'12. So just the way they were positioned, she was sitting on his cord and sitting on him and eating all the food. But he was healthy and his lungs were healthy. So they were able to come home with us when they were supposed to.
Yeah. So then after you have the twins, how did you decide 4 years later, or did you want to have kids right away after? Because obviously that was a conscious choice if you're taking fertility medicine to have a fourth kid. So what was your decision factor in having, because some people have twins and they're like, we're good. That is enough.
Right. It was just one of those little feeling type of things that somebody else was going to come into our family, or I hoped there would be, or I felt like there needed to be. It was a little prolonged. A little more because of the twins. I was so busy, but I felt like, well, I don't want them to be too far apart and we're not in charge anyway. So by the time it worked out, it was 4 years later.
Okay. Tell me about the early years. Cause your mom told me I was pregnant with my twins, she's like, just wait. And it gets easier after 5 years. I say, Andy Ann, I can't wait 5 years.
Is she right? Was she right? What'd you say?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I felt like at eight months, it got way easier for several months. And then they started flushing things down the toilet and it got a lot harder. And then, you know what I mean? I feel like it kind of, there's hard and easy stages, but definitely when you're not taking care of them all day and they're in kindergarten, then yeah, it gets easier.
Right. Right. I think that Kelsey, so she would have turned 3 in April after they were born. It really affected her.
Yeah.
She was a little bit mad and she would physically run circles around the house because I couldn't touch her because my hands were full. So she was a little mad, which was frustrating to me. We watched a lot of movies and a lot of Disney and all the great stuff. She, I think, started preschool maybe that next fall or something like that. And I had like this little window, I thought, until they started doing stuff like you just said, locking themselves in the bathroom and I couldn't get to them and they were under 1. And I mean, because they kind of team up together. They just
yes.
do.
Yes.
And going into the cupboards and pulling out pitchers. I don't like glass water pitchers. That's when, again, under 1, they were crawling and they shattered around them. And that's when I'm like, oh, I have a little baby proofing to do on everything. I guess I didn't realize, but they were faster and there was 2 of them.
Yes. People talk a lot about like the not sleeping, but for me, a lot of it was when they would double team.
Yes.
On everything.
Color each other's faces, color the wall. I mean, everybody knows and it only takes 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids are so fast. Into stuff. Because then 19, yeah. After my twins, my next is 19 months younger than my twins. And people are like, oh my gosh, how are you doing? I'm like, dude, if she cries, I pick her up. There's only one of her. And she can't unroll the toilet paper as fast as two kids can. I'm like, I can catch her before the whole roll is done. Exactly. But with two, it's like,
yep,
double team the toilet paper roll. Exactly. Four hands. Yeah. They've always been really good friends. Josh and Megan, your twins, have always been really good friends, right?
Yes, they
did
have.
Ever cause competition between the other kids who are not, you know, part of the duo?
That is a tricky question. I was been thinking about that a little bit. I think if my girls would have been twins, we would have had a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. They were interested in the same things, where boy, girl twins, they had different interests. So really not so much competition. When they got into junior high and high school, they did have some of the same friends and or boyfriends. Megan did date some of Josh's friends and he did date some of hers. And I don't know if that's competition, but things got a little tricky. We had to be careful with feelings and friends and situations like that. But
okay, so what were your talks like with them at that age?
There's so many layers here because it starts out with birthday parties, right? When they're little, do we do two separate parties? Do we do parties together? Do we whatever? So about junior high age, we've done it all. We've done all kinds. But then they started wanting parties together. But we saw early on one of the first together parties that some of the girls that came from Megan were really hanging out with Josh or were interested in that, vice versa. So we had to have talks of, when you are having your friends over, you need to be aware of you be with your friends or you, I don't know. We had so many different kinds of talks, but just respecting each other's friends, basically, because it gets a little tricky when they're interested in each other's friends, for sure.
So one of them hanging around the kitchen when the other friends are around, kind of a...
It happened a few times.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha. So after talks and stuff, did it ever get better or did they just, this is how it's going to be, I'm going to flirt with your friends when they're over here, kind of a thing?
Both. I was thinking about one of their friends who is actually getting married next week, but he and Megan liked each other for a couple of years. They were young. They didn't really date at the time, but he was Josh's friend. They played football together and they played lacrosse together. He was his friend. He was in his friend group. And they were all aware of it, but there were a few of those times when he came and I would kind of have to be a mediator because of those feelings, getting mad, getting jealous, getting whatever it is. So
were there ever issues where kids at school were manipulating or using one of the twins to get to the other one?
I probably was more aware of that than they were.
Okay.
Because I didn't want them, but there probably were a couple.
That happened to me too. And I'm not a twin, but.
Okay. I mean, yes. See, with siblings,
I've got brothers.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing as siblings and with boy, girl.
I think it's a little added dimension because we weren't the same age, but.
True. You understand.
So with Kelsey and Tyson, did they ever get jealous that they didn't have a twin, or was there any.
That's a good question.
Being ganged up on by, you know, being outvoted.
It's interesting that Tyson and Kelsey are born less than a week apart, but 7 years apart.
Yeah. Okay.
But so we would call them the April babies. And then we have the February babies.
Okay.
Which honestly was their own little group. And that was probably for a lot of years. So they kind of had a birthday buddy, which just happened to work out in our family.
Okay. So take note, have your kids in the same month.
Yeah. I don't know that they were jealous so much as maybe aware that there was that little friendship, that little bond.
So with my twins, I don't worry so much about having their own identity because they are boy girl twins like Josh and Megan. Did you ever have that kind of nervousness of making sure that they were individuals?
Absolutely. And I don't know how this happened exactly, but as they went into elementary school, I decided not to call them the twins.
Uh-huh.
That was just a thing I chose. I would call them by their names, even to their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
we switched every other year for a while. That was for me solely being that.
What do you mean switched mom. Like together?
Apart? Oh, sorry. They switched like, yeah, they were together 1 year, then they were apart. It was just easier when you're the mom and you go and help one school instead of one classroom at school. Right. So that was kind of for me. But then I saw the benefits of that because it helped them be individual. And some of their friends, I was remembering too, didn't know they were twins, which I kind of liked. And I hope that helped, just that they were individual.
In high school, did they have any classes together?
I couldn't remember that they did. I'll have to ask them again. But by that time, they were on their own path and their own classes and their own schedules. So I don't think they really, they were okay if they didn't. At that point, as little kids, they wanted to be, and they were very aware by high school. I don't think for them anyway, they were okay if they didn't.
Okay. So they always wanted to stay together in elementary school though.
They did probably up until fifth grade. And then they started, maybe that identity was even more separate.
Yeah.
They were okay not being together.
Did they do a lot of outside school activities together, like same teams and stuff like that?
Again, in elementary school, they did, you know, most things together, again, probably for my convenience.
Yeah.
Intramural sports together, and they were in a school choir together and things like that. But very quickly in junior high, that divided. Her interests were very different than his. He was into sports and she was into dance, and they did their separate things.
Yeah. And so now they've graduated high school and they're 23. So they're out of the house and doing their own thing, but they do very different things. Has that been an issue that they've kind of taken different paths?
I think it's been really, really good that they have. And again, it's just being an individual. I think they definitely have a bond and a love together, but they're also secure in who they are at this point. Hasn't always been, but I think, you know, they're secure being on their own. I've heard too from a couple friends, when they're the twins are the same sex, that part's even harder even as they get older. But for maybe the boy girl, they're doing well being on their own, but they still enjoy being together and laughing and having fun together too.
How have you fostered that relationship? Because I think a lot of twin parents want their twins to be inseparable because it's so cute, but then it doesn't always work that way. And your twins are, you know, like you said, they're individuals and they are not relying on each other, but they do love each other. How do you foster like that love in your family to have good friend sibling relationships?
It's a very good question too. And I think you as parents can only do so much. And then part of it is up to the kids. As they get older, they are so different and they have different things. And again, some of the twins might be very similar, so they naturally want to do things together. But I just think, we have family dinners, we have family group chats, we are always laughing, sending funny things. I mean, they send funny things all the time to each other, so away from our family group chat, because I hear about that. They tease each other for their birthday yesterday. They were just sending silly pictures and weird stuff just to each other, and that's fun just because they can, and they could say whatever they want and they know they still love each other. And again, that may be like other siblings too. Same thing, you have to work on your relationships and just keep getting together. Keep, I don't know, keep loving them. And they love to be together. So sometimes if people saw that mine, they thought they were boyfriend and girlfriend, which sounds strange, but not like they're holding hands, but they might have, you know, arm around each other, or they're laughing like that, where you have that connection or something.
That's, does that bother them when people mistake them for?
It doesn't. I don't remember them being bothered by it. No, I don't think so. They know what it is, so they're good.
One time someone thought my brother was my boyfriend and I freaked out because I was like, no, you can date me. Like, no, this is my brother.
Again, I'd probably have to ask them that question again. Maybe it did.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about the early years and you're still married. You've been married almost 30 years, which is, which is a feat.
Yes, it is. So
what absolutely have you done by raising all of these kids and surviving toddlerhood with twins
that you guys are still married.
Gosh.
I mean, Steve's nice. I have forgiven you for marrying him.
He is nice and he is funny, which actually is a big part. Having a sense of humor, truly, as we all probably know, you can go from laughing to crying to laughing. It's pretty close because a lot of those years I did that. I would cry when he would leave and fly out of town. And then he could get me laughing and joke. And we tried to have, you know, I hear people say they have a set date night, but my goodness, I don't know how you do that with little kids because that was hard for us. But we tried as much as we could. And now people have Netflix and stuff. You can have a date at home, right? I mean, we didn't really have that as much. We had videos and stuff, but we have been able to take fun trips together and get babysitters, which sometimes is really hard. Either your parents don't live by you or they're busy or all those things. But we tried, we had neighbors, we hired couples. I mean, we tried different things so we could go and be together. Cause I think it's super important to just go and remember you're a couple. You do have all these children and you will, but ultimately it will be the two of you where I am now as an empty nester.
Yeah.
So you gotta
how's
keep
that
it going.
Justin been?
It's
because that's he just moved out this summer, Tyson, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Tyson's on a mission. It has been hard and it has been kind of nice at the same time. We rarely got to spend this much time. I don't know if we've ever spent this much time, even when we were newlyweds. So this has been kind of nice that we get to spend time. We're still busy. Still have things going, but it's been fun. And because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to do exactly what we wanted to do yet, but hopefully we can travel and do some fun things.
Okay. So what is your best advice for twin parents?
I would say that I probably had different expectations of the way things would be to what they are. I don't know how else to explain that. We've had some bumpy things along the way, bumpy things along our path with all of our kids and just everything in life. And just love them and help them, even when you're really mad at them or when you've lost all your patience and all your marbles. I would say that all the time. I have lost every single one of my mom, but just keep loving them. And to me, having them in my life and having a relationship with them, and that it goes for all the kids, not just twins, is more important than what decisions they make in life or what job or any kind of thing like that. Is just loving them and having a relationship. So that goes back to my expectations. I've had to change those along the way. And maybe the only way to do that is to go through it. So the advice is just love them along the way. So good luck.
Good luck. How do you show your kids love? How do you show them that they, because I think I actually just did a poll on Instagram and people were asking for advice on how to have better relationships with their kids. So how do you love your kids? I know everyone shows love differently. I'm just asking what you do.
I mean, as much as we might try to make things even, I don't think you can, because each child is so different. They have different needs, different love languages. That's the thing with each of my kids. They speak different love languages. One is time. One might be more on the gift side, or others is just, time is probably the biggest for all, but I love to spend time with them, but two of them right now are not in the same state as I am. So we FaceTime a lot, just texting, honestly. Even with the birthday, we got together with the kids last night for dinner. So happy they want to hang out with us. And it's a free dinner. I get it. But I just think letting them know that I love them no matter what, like I said, no matter what, no matter who they are. And we have a lot of choices and a lot of decisions, but just keep telling them that you love them and lots of hugs and spend time.
You're great, Brooke. All right, I'm gonna let you go unless you have any other words of wisdom from a seasoned mom.
Oh boy, I needed lots of words of wisdom. And it's always good to have other people tell you a few little tips, right?
Yeah.
With twins. But I think most of them you learn along the way too, trial and error. So just keep trying. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Cry if you have to, right? Cry if you have to. Tell some jokes. Have fun with them.
You're great. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.